hello and welcome back to our number two. We're playing a series for you that was taken from the Living by the Word radio, my radio presentation, way back in August 17th, 1997. And it was recorded at KKLA-FM. Their studios are in, excuse me, Glendale, California, even now. And I was a radio commentator. This was my radio presentation. And I'm going to play hour number two. Why am I playing this for you? Because I want you to analyze the church today. Analyze what your pastors are telling you. I don't care how convincing they sound to you. I have seen myriads and myriads of people give their life savings to these so-called Christian ministries, and all based upon a lie. Men can take the Bible and twist the very words that are in the Bible to their own demise, or to your demise, really, because they're not concerned about you at all. They're concerned about themselves. Some of these people have gotten rich, have become nearly close to millionaires, tax-free, because of the separation of church and state, and all other kind of shenanigans. I am one of the very few African-American apologists that started this kind of investigation into our churches so many years ago, and I'm still alive. That picture that you see of me on my website, that's the way I look today. Matter of fact, I think I look better, darn it. But all of my counterparts that lied to you are dead, are dying, but their families and the other people that got that money are living off of their net worth, and they used it to deceive you. So let's get into part two of this wonderful series that I found. I have all of my Living by the Word radio shows before the radio presentations was literally hijacked by a bunch of people. And those that used to listen to me on the radio, look forward to me every Sunday night for 2 hours, all of a sudden I told them, I'm going to try to find my last radio show because I have it here, and I want to put that up on my website too. I'll find it, and it should say my last radio presentation, and I want to put it up because these old cassette tapes are wearing out, and I want to put it up for historical content. So I'm going to ask you to enjoy this as you pay very close attention to what was said so many years ago. Enjoy the presentation. All right.
If you have been listening to the Living by the Word program, you know that one of our goals is to boldly proclaim the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior, and to teach the Christian community to do what it says in Matthew 4:4. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." If you have received a life lesson from the teaching and dialogue of the Living by the Word program, we encourage you to send a donation to keep this program on the air. If your life has been blessed, and you see the change in your behavior because of the spiritual food that's given every Sunday night, we hope you will support our efforts with prayer and financial giving. Send your donations to Living by the Word, P.O. Box 43967,
Los Angeles,
California.
Don't send any money. Don't send any money.
Without your consistent financial support,
this is a recorded broadcast.
You will not remain on the air.
Thank you.
No matter what the amount, we need your support. Send your donations to Living by the Word, P.O. Box 43967,
remember, don't
Los Angeles,
send
California, 90043.
Money.
Call our office at 213-292-4415.
Don't call. That number is no longer mine.
213-292-4429, and let us know you're with us in this fight for truth and for glorifying the name of Jesus. You can also email us when you type livebyword@aol.com. If you do nothing else, keep living by the word.
Welcome back to Living by the Word. This is Mike Koger, John Coleman, and Alcee Hebert discussing the issue regarding favor as preached by T.D. Jakes. Please, if you're interested in taking any of our Basics of the Faith courses, call our office right now. Brother Ralph is standing by. The number to call is area code 213-292-4415.
We'd like to say hello, Alcee, to your mom that's listening in where?
Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas.
Yes.
All right. That's great. So if she's listening in, and then one of our brothers is visiting up in San Francisco, if you're listening on the computer, on the internet, hey, brother, hope you're having a great time. Listen, we're going to listen to our second interview tonight, and we'll be back to discuss this. Why don't you guys listen up?
What did you expect tonight when you came here to hear T.D. Jakes?
I expected to hear the word shared with scripture and with preciseness, where the word was beneficial to the people's spirit, to give them something to go home and begin to work and read the Bible, begin to pray and believe God for what they need in their lives.
Okay, based on the scripture that was given, Genesis chapter 39, do you see how favor can be in your life based on those scriptures, how you can gain favor from God?
Yes. It's just being faithful to his word and entitling him to use you as a Christian to bless others as well as seek God, that he might grow you up in the things of God. And therefore, you're going to obtain favor automatically.
Okay. What does doctrine mean to you?
Doctrine is the message itself. It's the teaching. The teaching is the doctrine. I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that is the doctrine that I believe.
And how do you apply doctrine to your life?
Doctrine is the word. It's the word of God. The scripture itself is the doctrine that I believe. That way I won't be persuaded not from the God of heaven, the God of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. That's the gospel that I believe.
Okay.
And that's how I apply it to my life.
Okay, thank you very much.
Now, guys, that was a very interesting interview. He said an awful lot. I mean, he said a mouthful. What was he talking about?
Well, the one thing that sticks out, when he spoke about the spirit of one being benefited by the message, I mean, when we're speaking about, was the message preached properly? If it wasn't, was there a benefit? Can you get a benefit by something that's done wrong?
Right. See, and that's the whole issue. If the man did something wrong, how do you benefit with that? Let's go to, go ahead, Mike.
Not only that, speaking about favor as a Christian.
Okay.
There's no favor here. The reward is in heaven.
Absolutely.
Good thing, Mike.
Absolutely. There is no favor here. Great is your reward in heaven, and that only comes after persecution in the truest sense of what being a Christian is all about.
And you can check me out. I'm quoting from Matthew 5. Matthew 5, start at verse 10, Matthew 5 and 12.
Right, right. Hello, Laura. Thank you for calling.
Hi.
Hi.
Pastor John,
yes.
I go to Church of the Harvest.
Okay.
And I just want you to know, I wonder what you would suggest a member does who, if they love their pastor, but there are certain things that are being done, that certain procedures that kind of grieve their hearts.
Yes.
And myself, I've determined to lift my pastor up in prayer and just.
Why don't you confront him? Don't lift him up in prayer. Go to his office. And have you consulted your Bible with a Bible verse to confront him with the scriptures and make an appointment to see him? Will he see you?
I don't know. I have not taken that route.
That's the first thing you need to do, Laura. I love Pastor John, but I love Jesus more.
Thank you.
So if you're shaky about something because in your spirit that God has placed in you, if your pastor says something, even though you love him and your spirit quirks you, you need to go to God's word first, then consult the pastor. Not saying, well, what do you think about this, pastor? Do your own study, Laura. Already know the answer in your head. Don't let him give you the answer.
And if he refuses to meet with you, that's a pretty good sign that you need to get the heck out of there. Because he is not above being approached by any member. Any member puts a dime in the tray, you got a meeting with the man.
How long have you been having problems there, Laura?
Well, it's not. I've believe he's a man of God. I really do. The word is going forth, and...
That's not what I ask you, Laura. You mentioned you sound like you were having a problem. Is there a problem
I have a problem with the heavy-handed way he... the collection is carried out.
What kind of collection are you talking about?
I'm talking about the financial. The financial, sometimes there is. Particularly during, I was not at Harvest Fire.
Do they tell you what to give? Is that the problem? They tell you how much?
In certain instances, yeah.
Well, you don't have to obey that, you know.
Oh, I understand that. It's, I understand that.
Nobody tells you.
I understand that all members... It's my understanding that we do need to tithe. I mean, to...
No, but that's not the biblical understanding. The Bible doesn't teach biblical tithing anywhere. The tithing is an Old Testament thing for the Old Testament. We give out of our abundance. I think what you should do is do a study in 1 Corinthians on biblical giving. You are not commanded anywhere to tithe. There are many preachers that disagree with me because they depend upon getting money out of people like that. People give what they want to give. This is the way we do it at Living by the Word Ministries. People get an envelope at the beginning of the service. We don't raise an offering. We don't give an invitation. He says, if you find us faithful in the Word of God, I live by means of what the people do, and I pay taxes on that. And that is the way that works. Now, any heavy-handed stuff, you say, you don't talk to me that way. I give what I want to give. But when you're in a church like that, you won't be in a position of leadership because in many cases, you pay your way for that privilege. Now, that's the way that works. So the closer you get to the top, the more money you're going to have to give off the
top. Can you confront him tomorrow, Laura?
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Call him up.
Well.
I mean, he's not the untouchable.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
What's the hesitation?
Well...
Come on, what is it? Come on, what is it? Come on, Laura, talk to us.
Well,
and listen, you are not touching the Lord's anointed in a negative way. You are a Christian. You have a right to make these statements. And I'm sick of these preachers. You see, that's the kind of hold they have on your minds. Listen, I saw that man affirm his wife. One of my brothers told me that his wife gave him a big picture of him in front of everybody else.
Right.
Like he's Prince Charles and that was Princess whatever. Listen, that dude puts on his pants just like me, and he's no better than anybody else.
He is no greater than you, Laura. No greater, no lesser. Listen, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. There are people from your church that are listening to our radio program right now.
Absolutely.
And if they hear you, they're going to call you right now and try to get you to back down off of what you just said.
Oh, yeah, they're going to scandalize you.
Don't listen to that, Laura. Right. You need to confront him without any hesitation.
Right.
If you need some help, because it sounds like you do, but if you need some help and you want to talk, call us in the office, please, because we'll help you do the study.
Yeah. Why don't you call Ralph right now? Call him at the office right now, and we'll take down your number and everything, and we will for sure get back in touch with you, and we'll help you in the investigative process.
Any material you need to go forth with it, we will be more than happy to send it to you, but you need to talk to him.
As a matter of fact, Laura, the number is
213-292.
Okay. 4415.
You don't call that number.
Now, you
Thank
call
you.
That number right now. We got somebody there, and we'll help you. We'll give you Bible study on giving, and so that you can have all of the scriptural resources that you need. Because if you're in bondage, there's probably a lot of other people in bondage. And one thing that I did pick up in the Harvest meeting there is that all the leaders got all the money because they're the second and third generation of the blessed, and all the other folk aren't there. Well, if you know anything about a cult, and I'm not saying that that's a cult, but I'm saying that that kind of language should make a light come on. Why don't you folk have what he has? I'll tell you why, because you can't get near it. You see, and what you need to do is wise up to it.
And Laura?
Yes?
He is your pastor. He's supposed to be the shepherd over your soul. You're supposed to be able to approach him and ask him anything regarding Scripture. And he's supposed to be able to give you a biblical answer back.
And if you can't do that, look, you be sure to get back with us, all right, dear?
Please.
Okay.
Call us.
God bless you. We'll be waiting to hear from you.
Okay. Thank
all right. Thank you, dear. God bless. And listen, any of you out there that are having those problems, you can call us in the ministry. That's why we're here.
See, that was one of my issues when I was there. I shouldn't have to know how many kids that this man has. I shouldn't have to know that.
Right. That's not.
I don't need to see his whole family.
That's
and I'm speaking
waste.
Of Pastor McClendon. I don't need to see his whole family being drug on stage.
No.
And I'm
going
to tell you what he said. He said, give my family a hand clap.
And also,
oh, no.
I don't need to see that.
No.
Also, there was bowing. You remember that, Mike? They were bowing to each other. What is this about?
This is, listen, if you don't bring the lease up before you and do that, then you are not to do that
to the pastor. You are not to honor that man in that way. You're almost making these people gods in front of you. I saw a lot of his wife worship and praise too. Isn't my wife beautiful, quote unquote. I didn't come there to see your woman.
You know what? I had my wife with me. Couldn't right. I just stand her up and say, okay, everybody, this right. is my wife, Carlotta, over right. here. Give her a hand clap.
Yeah, and we were sitting way at the top.
I guess if I'd asked Lucy to stand up, they'd all start booing me. I mean, what's you don't do things like that
Talk,
in
BJ.
A meeting where Christ is supposed to take the center. Let's keep on going. Wait, before we take line three, because we do want to talk with Tony in Newport Beach, let's listen to another interview. Listen to this.
Tell me, what did you expect tonight when you came to hear T.D. Jakes speak?
As far as definitely to get blessed. I mean, I'm definitely blessed every time I hear him speak. I mean, I learn something new, you know, about the word and things of such, you know, and find something, you know, that's personally for myself, you know, just like when he was talking about, I think, you know, you've been through this in your life and all this good stuff and dealing with, like, AIDS and things of certain people on crack. I mean, that's a lot, that describes me, my family, and all that good stuff. So, I mean, it just really, like, touched me.
Okay. Now, the fact that you use Genesis 39 to apply favor in your life, how does that help you as far as you reflecting on that scripture? What does that scripture mean to you?
It wasn't really that scripture as more as when he got to the test of Joseph that really affected me, because I'm dealing with the loneliness and things that sort. And right now I'm just trying to find that love through Christ. And so, I mean, that's more the fact that really affected me, that part when he started talking about the test of Joseph.
What does doctrine mean to you?
That's a deep question. Doctrine is something that, like, sort of like laws, I guess, made to be followed, you know.
And did you understand the doctrine of tonight? What was the doctrine tonight?
Like I said, I got more out of the fact of what he was talking about as far as I understood about the the favor that he was talking about that Joseph found. But you know, like, what I took in the heart was the test that he was describing as far as, you know, comparing Joseph's life to Jesus' life, you know, and all the you know, comparisons that were there, you know, and that was more of a, you know, meaning for me, you know, being up on the cross, taking that to heart.
Thanks a lot for your time. I appreciate it.
Now, that was a very interesting interview, obviously from a very young man that had a lot on it, on his heart. And you know what was very interesting about that interview is that there you had a very serious young man. But when it came down to, you know, a kind of an exegesis where he could understand what God was saying to him, here again, the confusion. Here you have sincere people there seeking a word from God. And we're picking up this mixed-up message.
Now, what does that do to a person's life when they go home and they say, okay, God has favor in me? And when things don't go right, who do they blame? They blame God, and then they turn on themselves and say, well, I don't have enough faith. I don't have enough faith. I don't have enough faith. And see, that's the whole sad case about the situation.
There has to be an intelligent definition of how Christianity works. But unfortunately, a lot of times in our community, we don't get that. Line three, we have Tony from Newport Beach. Talk to us.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hey, Pastor John. How are you?
Just fine. Thank you.
Oh, listen, I had a question. I wanted to know, because I'm kind of confused myself. How do you interpret the scripture that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous? What does that mean?
Well, what verse is that?
Well, it's in Proverbs. I don't have the exact chapter.
Okay, well,
verse.
We're looking up the verse right now.
Oh, okay.
But surely it does not mean that God. Oh, I think that's 13:22.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to turn to that right now. Thank you. Oh, yeah, I do have that on my little slip right here. What's the matter with me? Have I gone crazy? All right, it says, the good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Right, we discussed a little bit of that last week.
Uh-huh.
When you look at the Proverbs, you see the double meaning in each verse.
Right.
Okay, in the first part of the verse, it says what a good man does. He leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Now, a man that is not a good man would not do that.
Right.
And so you look at what he says. He says, but the wealth of the sinner, In other words, a person that wouldn't even leave an inheritance for his children is viewed as a sinner, and it is stored up for the righteous. In other words, those that are inclined to get it in the first place will end up getting it. God will see to that.
Uh-huh.
That in no way is saying that God is going to take all of the wealth of sinners and give it to saints. Because
oh.
if that were a fact, that means that all of the rich people that died that were sinners, all of their inheritance would have to go to saints.
Oh.
And that's not true.
Okay.
That's not true. You have a lot of ungodly people that are dying, leaving literally millions and millions of dollars to their families, and their families will live the rest of their lives and their families' lives, and no saint will get a penny of it. It would be inconceivable that God would take the wealth of people that do not know him and arbitrarily give it to Christians because Christians are going to heaven. Therefore, we go again to our text in Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, where Jesus says, "Great is our reward in heaven, mm-hmm. not on earth." We aren't promised anything down here, Michael.
Not only that, Tony, you cannot build an entire doctrine off of one verse
Absolutely.
Of the Bible.
Right.
You just cannot do that.
Right.
And that's what they're doing. You can't do that.
You can't do that. And think of what that would do to the ungodly person that has money. I mean, they said, "Oh, you mean to tell me when I die, all my money is going to go to the church?"
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't want it to go there either with an attitude like that.
Yeah, because I know that is preached a lot in a lot of churches, you
of
know.
Of course it is, and we hope that other ministers are listening to us and so that we have rightly dealt with it. Listen, Tony, thanks for your call.
Okay, thanks.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
And if you're a minister and if you disagree with that and you want to contend with us, Mike, give them the number to call.
Call us up at 1-888-LA-TALKS or 1-888-528-2557.
You're listening to Listening by the Word. This is Pastor John with Mike Coger and Elsie Hebert, and we'll be back after these words.
Have you sent in your financial support to keep Living by the Word on the air?
I'm going to. I called you last week. I told you, you know, I'll tell you something. I'm getting ashamed.
If you're one of our faithful listeners who thinks that someone else will send in enough money to cover what you don't send in, get that thought out of your mind.
You don't have to, you know, the Spirit of the Lord has been working on convicting me. You don't have to convict me.
If we don't hear from you financially on a consistent basis, you might tune in one Sunday night and hear something like this.
Ha, shata. Kata usha karabashindo rosh kata. No.
If Living by the Word Ministries has been a blessing to you and a tool for learning and maturing in God's Word, send that check or money order to Living by the Word, P.O. Box 43967, Los Angeles, California, 90043. If you don't mind, please send a photo of yourself in with your donation. We want to see who our friends and supporters are. Any amount is appreciated. Just send it to Living by the Word, P.O. Box 43967, Los Angeles, California, 90043.
So I've got my check made out. I'm going to mail it as soon as I get paid so it's not insufficient funds.
Thank you for supporting Living by the Word Ministries.
Thank you, and please support us. We need to hear from you this week. If God has placed upon your heart to send that donation in, please send it to Post Office Box 43967, Living by the Word.
Don't send me anything. I don't require that. This was a radio presentation years ago. Thank you.
Thank you. We will wait to receive that financial gift. Let's play that spot again by Reverend Jakes and so that you'll know exactly what we're talking about tonight.
Remain standing, look at verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. We're going to pray in just a moment, and I want every heart to pray. The Lord has sent me halfway across the country to ask you a very significant question. It is significant because it is prophetic.
You know, what gets me is when T.D. said, In other words, that was supposed to be a profound statement that he made. Something you don't go, I'm getting ready to share something with you that you've never heard
something
before.
Something new.
There's nothing new under the sun.
At all.
The man was handsome. Why do you go, See, but when you make handsome favored, you're building a lie. And you see, folks, when people do that to you, you've been had.
For those of you who are just joining us, that was Bishop, Reverend, whatever you want to call him, T.D. Jakes preaching a sermon from Genesis 39, verses 1 through 9. And he inappropriately used favor in verse 6 to apply that to all Christians.
Yes. Now, we're going to go to another clip right now to hear how some of the folk were affected by that statement. Let's listen.
Can you tell me what doctrine means to you?
Doctrine?
Yes.
Doctrine to me means the, actually, the rules and regulations of the church.
Okay. Now, did you get much doctrine tonight?
I didn't actually get rules and regulations. No, I got faith.
Okay. Now let me ask you a question. T.D. Jakes preached on Genesis chapter 39, the favor that God found in Joseph. Can you tell me from that text how you can apply that to your life?
In respect to being favored by God, as Joseph was, and the fact that I wear a coat which may not be as visible as the one that Joseph wore, but I have gained favor with
him. Can you tell me why God found favor in Joseph based on that text?
Because his heart was pointed in God's direction.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Larry.
You know, that's interesting. Why did he talk about the coat that he had on?
What does that coat have to do with anything?
I don't know what he was doing there in that meeting. This man obviously didn't hear what was taking place.
He says he came to get faith. I got faith.
But then he talked about the coat that he was comparing with Joseph's coat. And I don't think T.D. talked about it. Coat?
No, and with the definition of doctrine, Mike asked him, and then he just said, well, it's a bunch of rules. But then Mike asked, did you get doctrine here tonight? Evidently, he said no, and he doesn't know what doctrine is.
Quoting from the Millard Erickson Concise Dictionary of Christian Theology.
Please do.
Doctrine, a belief or teaching regarding theological themes. That is a tenet regarding the nature of God and his works.
Unlike many people that would say doctrine is what screwed up the church today, that's why the church is screwed up, because they don't adhere to doctrine. John in Baldwin Park. Thanks for holding, John. Hi.
My question is regarding the godly pastor that maybe picked something up at Bible school or seminary or off the TV or even, God forbid, the radio. I mean, usually the radio is covered, but you know.
Right.
And how would I approach him without destroying him and making him think I'm some kind of professional nitpicker?
Oh, that's an excellent question. John, what you do is you approach him from the love of your heart and say, Pastor, I think you need to be checked on this. And if he gets destroyed, he wasn't a pastor in the first place.
Are you a godly man, John?
Well, I don't want to brag on myself, but...
Well, you just bragged on the pastor, so I wanted to know where you said he was a godly person. I want to know, are you a godly
person? Yeah, I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you're just as equal with any pastor that I know.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck? He's just called a pastor into a particular different calling. But you know, but the pastor's no better than you. Never has been, never will be.
And the way you're not a professional nitpicker is you use the Bible.
Absolutely. And if he doesn't, he's a shyster and a hireling and a wolf in sheep's clothing. And he needs to be revealed for what he really is, the scoundrel.
So if I come to him with the Bible in humbleness and meekness and he rejects me, then I know
you come in power and in a sound mind. Don't come humble, brother, because they will tell you not to touch the Lord's anointed. And you say, brother, I'm just in question whether you've even been appointed.
Here's the thing, John. Just be respectful as him being another Christian
That's all he is.
Just be respectful. He's just another Christian man. When you say you come humble, that sounds to me like you're going to come with your head down. You're going to say, well, Pastor, I wanted to ask you a question. No, you come to him.
Before God.
I'm sorry?
I mean humble before God, not taking presumption and thinking that I can be some kind of prophet or something.
Yeah, well, you know, and the pastor is not an icon, and so you don't treat him like an icon. What you do is you treat him like a man. He puts on his pants one leg at a time like you. And if he blinks, take him out.
Well, doesn't the Bible say to treat him as a father?
No, the Bible says this. You want to know what the Bible says? I'm going to tell you what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, starting at verse 17. That's what the Bible says. You know, everybody want to know what the Bible says about a pastor. I'm one, and this applies to me too. It says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Then it says, do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. Then it says, those who continue in sin. In other words, he's not going to answer you, right? It says rebuke. That means rebuke the pastor in the presence of all so that the rest of who? The rest of the pastor at flock also may be fearful of sinning. That's your right as a person in the Christian church. I don't know what the problem is here.
Not only that, John, if you look at Titus 1 and 7, it says, for the overseer must be above reproach.
Thank you.
As God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered,
right.
Not addicted to wine, and it goes on. But what I want to point out to you is it's not quick-tempered.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to the guy and he mouths off at you and says, you don't know what you're talking about, get back to Bible study. He's got a problem.
No,
he's disqualified.
But if he responds with tears.
Tears.
He says, oh, well, it
tears
worked.
Of what?
It worked. That's tears of repentance, you hope.
Well,
it worked.
Well, I mean, tears of being caught.
What did it work? Well, that's great. That's what you're there for.
Well, I mean, he doesn't repent. He just says
if he doesn't repent, what you do is, man, you walk.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, my brother. God bless you too. All right, let's go to. Can we hear one more cut before we go to line two? You hang on, Richard in L.A. We'll be getting to your real.
When you came tonight, were you expecting to be entertained?
I came over with an open mind, and yes, I expected to be entertained.
Okay, and were you entertained tonight?
Very much so.
What does doctrine mean to you?
Doctrine, I would imagine it's a belief, it's a way of living, it's handed down experiences, a way of living.
And did you get a chance to see the doctrine of T.D. Jakes tonight?
Very much so. He's excellent. I loved his delivery, the way he preaches.
Okay. Based on the Genesis 39 text that he preached from, can you tell me how God finds favor in your life?
In my life?
Yes.
Well, I believe that I've been overpaid. My lifestyle, I shouldn't be here. And I truly believe I've been overly favored. I honestly believe it wasn't for having been favored, I wouldn't be standing before you tonight.
So do you know why God favored Joseph in that text? Did T.D. Jakes tell you why God found favor in him?
Because he could trust him. He felt he could be trusted. He was someone that was worthy of being favored.
Now, understanding that none of us are worthy, do you still hold to that same opinion that he felt he could trust him and that he was worthy? Understanding, of course, that the Word of God says no one is worthy?
Correct. Well, it was through God's grace, I guess, is another way of saying it, that he bestowed it upon him. That's how I interpret that.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Now, that's interesting, Mike.
Handed down experiences is what he said.
Yeah,
that sounds a little like traditionalism.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like, well, my mother's mothers did it, my father's fathers did it, so therefore I can do it.
But he got it from a secondary thought because you asked him in the interview, well, what about God finding favor with you? Well, because Joseph trusted God. But that wasn't a contextual thing there. You see, Potiphar didn't show him that kind of, if you want to use that favor in that way, because Joseph trusted God. Potiphar was an idolatrous sinner. Potiphar didn't even believe in the God of Joseph. Potiphar didn't believe in anything but Egypt. Man, he was one of the aristocrats, if you want to say. That guy was living high on the hog. His old lady, you know, personified that. So the whole point is, man, is that this guy heard something, and it's the idea that T.D. put in his mind. And his first statement, that he went there primarily to be entertained.
With an open mind.
With an open mind.
Versus an open Bible.
Versus, because there were not very many Bibles there in the first place. It's very interesting. Richard from Los Angeles, thanks for holding on.
Good evening, Pastor John. How
evening,
are you
Richard.
Tonight, and brothers?
Just Mike. Going fine.
Hello, Richard.
Hi, how are you
doing, Rich?
Good. Thank you. And firstly, I'd just like to say, because I know somebody who attended the Potter House in Texas, and
okay.
I was told Brother Benny came out to the Potter House and spoke and did his thing.
You mean Benny Hinn?
Right.
The I'm going to blow you down guy?
That's right.
Let me clarify something, Richard. For those of you who don't know, the Potter's House is T.D. Jakes' church down in Dallas, Texas,
yes,
I believe.
In Dallas.
Go ahead, Rich.
Well, the thing is, you know, I was speaking with this person, and like I was explaining to them, I have a hard time. I went to Manpower 96,
okay.
And I went to the Potter's House when I was in Texas last year around Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And, you know, as you know, Brother T.D. is a very charismatic and seemingly intelligent brother.
Of course.
So I find it difficult or hard to believe that someone such as himself would not be aware or know, you know, that Brother Benny has been exposed, not just by the brethren, but also by...
Well, now, see, we had to turn the tape over to the other side because we ran out, but here I am in 2022, still recording it. Enjoy the rest of the show.
I went to the Potter's House when I was in Texas last year around Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And, you know, as you know, Brother T.D. is a very charismatic and seemingly intelligent brother.
Of course.
So I find it difficult or hard to believe that someone such as himself would not be aware or know, you know, that Brother Benny has been exposed, not just by the brethren, but also by mainstream media. And so I find it difficult to believe that someone of his stature would not know this man's past, present, and what he is continually promoting as far as doctrine is concerned.
Yeah, when you are, you know, finding yourself, Richard, as you know, involved in a group of individuals who are there for a particular objective, those objective means will be met by any means necessary. And so you are known by who you hang out with.
Right.
It is obvious to the Christian community. The folk that know me know who I hang out with. I don't hang out with guys like that because I don't want to be named with them. Now, the folk would say, yeah, I know the kind of guys you hang out with, and they would probably curse us all out. That's not the point. That doesn't bother us. But you are known by whom you hang out with. And so if he's hanging out with Benny, he's in total agreement with the guy.
Right.
That's what the bottom line is.
And I think it's really terribly sad to see the state of the church today, and I'm so glad that God pretty soon is going to take us up because we're really just disgracing him.
It is a total disgrace on
what we're allowing. Not to cut you off,
no,
but this evening, when you came on tonight, I had a brother who is a Jewish brother who I've been talking to and ministering to who gave me a call when your show came on to tell me that this racist guy was on Channel 9, quickly turned to him, and lo and behold, when I turned to Channel 9, it's Brother Fred.
What was he doing on Channel 9 tonight?
Brother Fred said that he has been called by God himself, El Shaddai, to preach to the black community, to tell them that they are something. He was talking about white people leaving crumbs for black people.
What?
I mean, all kinds of racist overtones that he was making, and this is something that he's about to start doing.
I hope somebody taped this. I hope somebody taped this, please.
Well, this is a Jewish brother that called me. Now, we've read Romans 11, and so here we go, you know. Anyway, brother, what I called you about is 1 Timothy chapter 6.
Yes.
Verse 17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God,
right,
who gives us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate or socialize, which they're not doing, which you
Man,
brother.
They're not going to share that, man.
Did you say 1 Timothy 6:12?
Yes.
6,
but
17.
He's reading from the King James.
No, he was 6:17.
Okay, go ahead.
And verse 19 says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life rather than uncertain riches.
Richard, what you're doing is you're putting your trust in a biblical concept. These people are not doing that. They're laying hold on what they can get their hands on now because it's get all you can and then can that after you get it. Man.
Exactly.
But, man, I'm telling you, listen, a minister of the gospel ought not come on any kind of secular media talking about racial issues. It is obvious. It is obvious that we're living on a fallen planet, and the world is going to be the world. Like a good friend of mine, Harley Howard, says, the world is the world, is the world is the world, is the world. I expect them to be of the world. I do not expect believers to come on television acting like the world, but that's not even
and have the whole church clapping. And before I go, Pastor John, if
very
I can
quickly
have a second more,
very quickly,
I can just for your critics.
Yes.
This is Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18.
Yes.
Now I beseech you, or I beg you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple.
And you know what? I really love that, Richard, because you see, the simple of the church today.
Yeah, you can say that, brother.
Thank you, my brother.
All right, brother. Take care. Lord bless.
All right. God bless now. And we're going to listen to our, are we ready, Mark, to listen to another cut? Let's listen to another interview, and we'll be back.
Did you come tonight expecting to be entertained?
Entertained?
Yes.
No.
Okay, what did you come for tonight?
I came to get a message from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it.
And you got it tonight?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Another night anyway, huh?
What does doctrine mean to you?
Doctrine? In a nutshell, let's see, it is the Word of God, I mean, in its most real interpretation, in its most real interpretation. It's kind of a short notice, you know, yeah, but to come up with what does doctrine mean to you, and amazingly, they have different, many doctrines, but the Bible specifically talks about the doctrine of Christ. Any man that does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Unfortunately, we have different interpretations of what the doctrine of Christ is, but it is the unfeigned Word of God.
Let me ask you one last question. Based on the text tonight that T.D. Jakes preached from, Genesis 39, 1 through 6, I believe, 1 through 9, I'm sorry. Do you see how Joseph gained favor in God's eye and how you can apply that to your life?
Oh, yes. Yes, very much so. Very much so. Very much so.
And how is that?
Basically, just be obedient to his word. And that's the bottom line. You just got to be obedient. Wholeheartedly. Don't let nothing stray us, distract us. Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
You know, here again, we find basically the same thing, gentlemen. Just be obedient to the word. That's you know, that's what it's all about. But you didn't answer the question of doctrine. You didn't give it any kind of systematic approach. Here again, the pastors, what are they teaching our people? Why can't we answer those particular questions like that? Derek calling from Pico Rivera. Thanks for calling, brother. You're on with Pastor John. Hello, Derek. We don't hear Derek. Okay, so we're going to hang up on Derek. Nope, he's there.
Hello?
Hi, Derek. How are you? You're on.
Hi, John. I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
That's good. First-time caller, just want to encourage you, and I'm really encouraged to hear you talk about the just importance of studying the Word.
Absolutely,
systematically, expository preaching, which I am thoroughly committed to. And
fantastic.
Just encouraging to hear other brothers in Christ so committed to this, because I think it's what the church needs, and I think doctrine is very important. And just in a nutshell, I want to just explain and tell you that I came from a background of a church that doesn't emphasize the word, but rather focuses on the gifts of the Spirit.
Sure.
Signs and wonders, healing.
Yes.
And everything, but rather I wasn't growing as a Christian. And I think what we need more are men like you and, you know, Pastor John MacArthur and men of God who are committed to preaching the word expositionally. And, you know, I think about the writer of the Hebrews, how he wrote in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, to go on to maturity.
Sure.
To leave the basic doctrines, leave the ABC. Christianity. And also Ephesians 4 talks about that we would not be infants.
Yes.
And just want to thank you for your encouragement and your commitment to discernment.
You know, Derek, it's interesting because as I listened to your call, you quoted scripture like Richard did. And you see, that's what we as Christians do. When we ask biblical questions, we have biblical answers.
Right.
And those are the insightful evidences of what a believer is. A believer is not an emotionally hyped up person.
Right.
But he is one that can use the scriptures, and the scriptures determine the outcome of the individual's life.
Right.
And you know, Derek, we run into a lot of flack because most folk that we ask these questions don't know scriptures. You know, we're going to be going to City Walk. We're going to go out to Venice Beach. We're going to go to Hermosa Beach, Redondo. We're going to be going to a lot of festivities taking place in South Central. We're going to ask these questions of people that go to church because we do this because we want to know what it is that the Christian community is receiving on a weekly basis in their ministries.
Right.
And it's an unfortunate thing because they're not receiving too much of the Word of God. But we really commend you on your prayers and your faithfulness to this ministry. Continue to pray for us, brother.
Okay, John. Thank you.
God bless.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. Excellent. Excellent call. Yes.
If we can just quickly go back to the last interview, I just think it's a tragedy when we would say that there are many doctrines many interpretations of the doctrine of Christ.
Right.
You know, what is that saying about the church?
Well, listen to this next interview, and you will really hear something.
What does doctrine mean to you?
That's kind of a hard one. Doctrine is a religious, maybe, you got me on that one.
Okay, I'll go to
I'm just a baby in Christ.
Oh, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Okay, since you're a baby in Christ, let me ask you this question.
Give me an easy one.
Based on tonight's sermon from Genesis 39, do you see how you can apply that text to your life and how Joseph found favor and it was relating to you?
Definitely. I can apply it to my life by faith, knowing that I am a favored child of God. And if I walk in his way by faith, then
hallelujah,
I can live in his way, in his system of doing things.
God bless you.
How long have you been a Christian?
God bless you, my brother.
I've been saved a year and a half, but I've been a Christian. I've been a Christian all my life.
Hallelujah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
What did she say?
She said it. She said that she's been saved a year and a half, but she's been a Christian all of her life. Now, if anybody can explain that one to me, that's, you know, how are you going to be a Christian all of your life?
Is that possible?
No, it is not. Not to be saved a year and a half, but I've been a Christian all my life. There's something wrong here. There's you pastors that are listening to this, these are some of your members talking. And I'm going to tell you, if I knew a voice of any of these persons and they were a part of Living by the Word Ministries, I would give a basic doctrinal instruction class on what biblical Christianity is.
You know, going back to what Al said, it brings to mind 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, where it says, "But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation.
Yeah.
For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God."
Yeah. And see, these people are not speaking. They are speaking their own. That's religion.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Christianity. And see, I have a personal problem with that. I don't know about you. Why don't you folks call us? We'd love to hear from you. Hello, Linda, calling from Los Angeles.
Good evening, Pastor John and the other members of the clergy. I was calling about the scripture in Genesis 39:6.
Yes.
Because based on my Thompson Chain Reference Bible and also the Gabrin commentary, in addition to saying that word favor means well-built and good-looking,
yeah,
in addition to that, it also means mercy and grace and respect. And then it gave some cross-scripture references in Luke 2:52, where Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And Genesis 39:21, where Joseph was given favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison.
Can I say something about that?
Yes.
When you look at the term in the Hebrew, and this is the difficulty that you have with that. Once you, as a matter of fact, I have the
Because, see, like, when you look at that little logos definition that I gave a definition of earlier, what you really should do is you should look at the actual Hebrew rendering of the term here when it says that the blessings, here it is, when he was handsome in form. It is a different Hebrew term that you find in the Logos Bible Solve program. It is a more extensive term. So I'm looking at when it says Joseph was handsome of form and handsome of appearance. That's what it means in the Hebrew, not those other ones. You're looking at a particular Hebrew term that can be used across the reference to that, but you have to connect it to its root form. So that's what it meant in verse 6. It didn't have all those other meanings.
Are you saying we're wrong, Laura?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say no. But you said about being handsome and well-built and good-looking. I agree with that.
Yeah, but that's all it meant about him. But the term can be used to mean other things and other scriptures. But in this particular text, it means exactly that. You see, and that's, you know, I have this Hebrew thing in front of me. And it's an English transliterator right here. And so, you know, we want to be very accurate on this. And let me say this, Linda. We have individuals listening to us that go to seminary, that are professors in seminary and like that. And we would be glad for them to call us and to correct us on our Hebrew. We're not Hebrew scholars, and anybody can get this material. Mike?
Thanks a lot for your call, Linda. But why don't we go to our next interview, Pastor?
Thanks, Linda.
All right.
God bless you. Bye-bye now. Thank you for calling. Let's go to line 3 and say hello to Michael and Gardena. Hi, brother. Hi. Yeah. Hi. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say that, you know, you guys are sitting there bashing about Church of the Harvest and all, and you guys are very ignorant towards that fact.
Michael, can you pick up your phone?
Yeah.
Because we can't really, you sound kind of muffled. We can't understand you.
Okay. Can you understand me now?
No.
Yeah, but talk a little bit slower and so that we can hear, because it sounds like you're in a tunnel somewhat.
Okay. Well, I was just saying that you guys are sort of ignorant towards the fact of what's
going on. Wait a minute, Michael. Are you disguising your voice?
No, I'm not disguising
I hear that you're saying that we are ignorant. We want to hear you, but you have to talk. Are you there?
Michael?
Are you there?
Okay, yeah, I just changed my phone.
Okay, that's good. Better.
Okay, now, yeah, I was saying that you guys are sort of ignorant towards the fact of, because you guys are saying, yeah, you know the pastor, he's trying to get all the money and stuff, but you guys don't really know the vision of the church anyway.
What is it?
It's basically just to take the church to the whole world, take the gospel to the world.
What is the vision of the Harvest Church?
I just told you to take the gospel to the world.
And does that mean that you put your wife up in front of everybody else and claim how beautiful she is?
No,
does
that mean?
Does that mean? Yes, it is.
What's the problem with that? Okay,
Christ is the head of the church. Christ is to be affirmed, not your wife. Is it also proper for you to bring in a preacher that misappropriates scripture?
Who was misappropriate?
T.D. Jakes, if you've listened to the whole show.
Haven't you listened to the show for the past 2 hours, my brother?
No, not for the past 2 hours.
Okay, well, listen. What you need to do is to order the tape before you accuse us of being ignorant.
Oh, I know you guys are, because you guys don't attend my church regularly, so you don't know what's going on there.
If we, as a matter of fact, my brother, you don't know anything about what we attend.
You don't know what we do.
Actually, you know what, though? I called you guys' office, and they said you guys went there for 2 nights, so I know what I'm talking about. He said you guys went there for 2 nights, so either he's lying or you guys are lying, so whichever one is still,
Well, we don't have to lie. All of us did not go each night, but we had representation there enough to get our documentation. We did not get these interviews by proxy. We had to be holding the tape recorder.
It sounds like what you guys did was took the interviews and ripped them apart and put them in the way you guys wanted them.
No, that's not what we did.
We have the original tapes, and if anyone would like to hear it, Brother Ramsey has those tapes. They have not been doctored. We did not play the person's name because we want to protect their innocence.
Uh-huh.
But, sir, we would never do that. We are a legitimate ministry.
Hey, Mike, would you like to come on the show next week and bring a Bible study to say how we're ignorant? Would you like to show our ignorance?
Because what?
Would you like to show us our ignorance by your proclamation of the word?
Yeah.
Okay, would you like to come down?
Listen, call us at the office, and we'll set it up and have you down.
Call up right now. You got a pen?
Yeah, isn't the number 292-4415?
Yeah, call up right now. Give your information to Ralph, and we'll call you. As a matter of fact, I'll call you first thing in the morning.
As a matter of fact, and make sure that you give the proper information, and it'll be a very lively show next week.
Maybe you can bring your pastor with you, because I did send a letter to your church. Why don't you ask him about that letter?
Right.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye bye. All right, boy, that's great.
We really Let's go to our interview faster before we run out of time.
Are you here to be entertained tonight?
I wasn't being entertained. I was coming here to get the word.
Okay, and did you receive that tonight?
I received the word.
Can you tell me what doctrine means?
Doctrine?
Yes, what is doctrine to you?
Well, doctrine means like we should have sound doctrine, not hearing itchy ear stuff. Good doctrine, the word. That's what it's going to take to save you is the word.
Now, can you tell me, is doctrine being taught in today's churches?
Well, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say doctrine. This is not doctrine. This is the word of God. This is not doctrine. He said, do not be deceived by doctrine.
What's the doctrine?
Doctrine. You want the word. You don't want doctrine. Because doctrine is when they teach you itchy ear stuff. He said, be by sound doctrine.
Okay.
You don't want itchy ear.
Okay.
You want the word.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Based on the text tonight, Genesis chapter 39, which T.D. Jakes preached from, do you see how God found favor in Joseph and how it can be applied to your life?
Yeah, if you're being faithful unto God, he will find favor.
And that's the only way?
And by obedience. By obeying.
Okay, thank you very much.
Doctrine is itchy ear stuff. That's very interesting. We're running out of time, but Pat, we do want to talk to you. Thanks for calling us from Downey.
Yes, I have one question.
Yes.
I'm a senior citizen, and I felt in the mail with the Brother Andrew's ministry and Door of Hope, which used to be Communism to Evangelists, where you mail portions of Scripture. And, you know, in those countries, and even today in China and different places, they confiscate. And some of them, they would share just portions. They didn't have the whole Scripture. And it sounds to me like you're making it complicated. I've read the Bible through several times, but I guess doctrine, well, the way I look at it is we're a fallen, we needed a Savior, God the Son was incarnate and came down from, he left heaven and took on flesh, and he was our propitiation, he was our sacrificial lamb, and we're saved by the blood.
Pat, that's wonderful. I think that's a wonderful diagnosis that you've given of your particular insight into Christian faith, but we are not talking about that. We are talking about
when you say doctrine, what do you mean?
We've already given a definition of doctrine.
I guess I tuned in late.
Yeah, well, we've already given a definition of doctrine, but I'll give it again. I will give it again. No, Pat, we're in agreement. It is a brief teaching or any teaching regarding theological themes, anything that regards the nature and the works of God. That is what doctrine is.
Do you believe that also includes healing? Do you think it's God's nature to heal?
Yes, we do.
You know what, Pat? We're going to have some interviews on healing next week. So if you listen in to that show, you can call us back and we can really get into a dialogue with you, okay?
Let me give a short little testimony.
No. There's no time for that, Pat. No. We have to go. We have to go. Thank you, Pat. We have to go.
You know what? I wanted to say to Pat, our good friend in Highland, she hung up. Call us back, Pat. We love hearing from you.
Yes.
With that insight.
Absolutely. All right, brother, and I think that, let me see, we're not going to take one, we're not going to take two. Okay, let's wrap it up. We've had a great time discussing some of these issues. We've listened to those particular interviews. I hope that the young man calls us back and so that we can speak with him.
Right. This was not done to belittle anyone.
No.
What we are doing is showing you the state of the church.
Yes.
We are here to help.
Yes.
We didn't play these interviews and make fun of people and say, look. We brought forth the Bible study and explained how that favor, if you want to use the word favor, in Genesis 39 works. We wanted to clarify that because we heard someone preach it wrong.
Absolutely.
And we wanted you to see, because we're in the booth all the time and we get your calls and we deal with people that you don't understand, but people are really misguided. So we had the interviews to show you the misguidedness that we deal with.
And we will deal with more of that next week as we listen to some of those other issues. And we also do know that many of you that go to Church of the Harvest are offended by what we're doing, because what we're doing is we are revealing some things. Now, quite naturally, you're thinking, well, I'm going to find some things to reveal about you. Now, my brothers, I'll do it myself. I don't need you to do that. You see, it's not about telling on each other. It is about protecting the church. That is what we do. This ministry is not a ministry that hands out tracts, that gives salvation Bible studies. We have enough churches in our community that does that. This ministry sees itself as a watchdog, so to say. We're looking at churches. We're looking at the practices that goes on in the church. We didn't ask for this calling in our lives. God has placed us here for such a time as this. And we see ourselves as a blessing. And if you see us as a blessing, we would love to hear from you. Mark is going to give you that address again. Mike, Elsie, thank you for joining us. Sure. Lord willing, we'll have another group of men in next week. And until that time, let's all keep
living by the word.
Ah, what a radio presentation. And I'm telling you, I, you know, when I look back, because this is the end of February, the year 2022, that was done. And let me check the date to make sure that I have it right. Yes, August the 17th, 1997. Wow. Just to be able to correspond in a way that, look at the state of the church today, if you can find the church in a particular state, in terms of what you believe about the Bible. I talk with people all the time, and when they, you know, and I let them know that I'm retired, that I'm a retired pastor. I don't pastor anymore. As a matter of fact, I got a phone call from a brother that I was very well acquainted with when I belonged to the traditional Protestant church. As a matter of fact, he was one of the members of the church that I pastored. And out of the blue, he calls me yesterday, and I haven't spoken with him in, well, quite a long time. And he's scheduled to come by and visit me. And I was telling him in the conversation that I was having with him how much I loved him, how much I loved his family, his sons, his friends, how I loved going by his home, visiting them. They have a beautiful home, so much larger than my own, and the hospitality of his family, and especially his sons, very aggressively male, and just, I loved them. And I was speaking with the man, and I was telling him how much I loved other men in the church. Oh, yeah. Okay, this is, let me stop this right there. There we go. And I was telling him about how enthusiastic I was about seeing him again so that we can talk over those things. And I was sharing with him that I haven't changed in what I believe about the Word of God. I haven't. Now, me coming out, that's a personal thing that I did, because we're living in a day and age where in this country you can be who you are. And I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of my life or the lifestyle that I live. I have never blasphemed God and done anything that will bring shame to his name. I'm not that kind of a person. I don't do that. But as you listen to these series of radio presentations that we have up, I want you to know that this is when I was at the apex of my career. I wasn't just a pastor that got behind the pulpit and talked 20 minutes about nothing, because I listen to these preachers today, and I'm going to tell you the truth. They aren't giving you anything. And you can go out to Panorama City and listen to JMJ and him teaching everything line upon line and frame upon frame. But if your heart is against anyone in a racial way, and you have those kind of, I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to you. I've come to the point where I believe in God, and I believe in the power of God and what God is doing in all the peoples of the world. And of the universes. I believe in that God. And I want to thank you for coming to my website. Be sure to listen to the next radio presentation. I'm going to try to put them all up before I die. And I want to put them up and so that you will have an historical record of what John E. Coleman Jr. did in his life for the sake of the church, the called out ones of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't believe that he was a white European. No, I do not. I know better than that. I know that he comes from Northern Africa and he's from the continent, and that's all right with me. I appreciate that, and I appreciate all of you that appreciate me by coming to my website. Thank you so much. Going 5 minutes over, that's my bad. I love you. Join us next time for the next show. Oh, and I will be playing some clips from my late departed. I think the next clip I'm going to put up is Reverend Louis Finister was one of the associate ministers at the Olivet Baptist Church when I was there, and he passed away due to COVID. And I found some of his old messages, and I'll put up 5 or 10 minutes of old time preaching so you can hear it. To the Finister family that listens to me, I'll be putting your daddy's sermon up real soon. God bless you.